Hello, friends. This is Brian, the host of the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast. And as you know, the fall and winter weather is upon us. That means more buildup and debris in the gutters of your home. So instead of spending countless hours trying to repair and clean out the gutters yourself, why not leave it to the experts at Blue Diamond Seamless Gutters? That's right, ready to serve the Ellis County area, Blue Diamond is family-owned and offers both commercial and residential seamless gutter installation, free estimates, leaf guards, gutter cleaning, and repair. Blue Diamond Seamless Gutters will give you expert opinion and help you come up with what is best for you, your home, and your budget. Get in touch with Blue Diamond by calling the number provided in the blog page at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog or follow the Facebook page at Blue Diamond Seamless Gutters. All information to book your free estimate can be found in the notes for today's episode. And if you mention that you heard about Blue Diamond from this podcast, you will receive a 10% discount on services provided. Not $5, not $10, no. 10% off of the services. That's Blue Diamond Seamless Gutters. YFB is proud to promote the very best in the gutter installation and cleaning business. Now, let's continue with today's episode. Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for stopping by once again. Happy New Year to everybody that's tuning into the show. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little, and on this show, three things are going to be discussed. One, God is King. Number two, Peanuts is the single most successful comic strip in American history. And mixed martial arts is the greatest sport under God's hot sun. Some of y'all are watching the NFL playoffs, getting through the wild card. It doesn't hold a candle to what we have for the main event tonight. Either way, I usually start off my show with some segment about the Peanuts, but I have to start with a call to action. Why? Because, guys, we are 10 downloads away from YFB's very first 10,000 downloads on the web hosting platform. I run this show through Spreaker. I send it out to Apple and Spotify for those who want to listen to it. But it really helps if you download the show. We are 10 downloads away from my first 10,000. That opens a big door for yours truly and also for the YFB network. Looking to get some more exposure out there in the podcasting world. If you haven't had the chance, that's my second call to action. Rated JG just put out another episode, so I'm giving him a huge round of applause for getting back on the mic. It's great to hear Justin Case again, him and Miss Casey, mixing it up on the microphone in the podcasting world. Go check out all the guys on the YFB Network and gals. You can find that on the link at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. If you go to the notes for today's show, you can find all these shows that are in the YFB network. We've had a great time, but I have to go ahead and shift gears. Every one of my topics I have decided to throw out as of today. We were traveling, me and the little redhead girl, we were doing some shopping. We were downtown. Things have been really cold today. It's been an interesting day, to say the least. If you're in the DFW area, some of y'all that are tuning in from Florida and from New York and California, other territories, I appreciate you tuning into the show, but man, it has been cold as of this morning. What a way to wake up, find a whole bunch of wind advisories across my phone, then have to go out and pick up a bunch of trash before our little dog could get a hold of it, and then to go out and try to get out in these flurries that have dropped into the Dallas-Fort Worth territory. So it's been cold, okay, but we had to get out and get a couple of things, and something came across my Instagram, and I just had to go, man, I've got to talk about this. So there is a particular fighter from The Ultimate Fighter Season 3. Back when I was still in the Navy in 2006, when I really started to get into MMA, what really sold me was the matchup between Matt Hughes versus Royce Gracie. But during that time, Season 3 was growing strong. Michael Bisping was starting to become a household name amongst MMA fans. And we have our winner of the middleweights, and his name is Kendall Grove. Now, Kendall is from the island of Hawaii, okay? And I looked at his Instagram, and he has put up this video. It was so unbelievable to look at this. Let me see if I can dissect it piece by piece. He's driving by where his kids are going to school, and he is filming from his car the parking lot and the playground. Now, mind you, I don't know how they got these cars in here, but inside of the playground where the kids would have physical ed, have PE, or they would go out and have afternoon recess, shoulder to shoulder, as far as you can see, are hundreds of cars, different vehicles that are packed into this playground. And the reason for it is you have the opening day, I want to say it might have been the Sony Open for Hawaii, because the truth is Hawaii is well known for its golf courses, world renowned. But we have the Sony Open in Hawaii, and the whole idea is these kids are kept inside of the building so that these spectators, these participants, and these fans of golf for the Sony Open can have access to a parking space. Now think about this for a second. Just try to wrap your head. As an educator, this absolutely disgusts me to my very core. And we're talking about Hawaii. I understand economically that tourists bring in a lot of revenue for the state of Hawaii, but this is where Kendall is really winning me over when he wants to call it a fake state. He used the hashtag fake state and said, guys, we do not live nowadays in a pandemic of a virus. We live in a pandemic of fear and corruption. And some of y'all might be saying, what are you getting at? Some of y'all are already amening. You're anticipating what I'm already about to say. You know, I've always wondered how Charles Schulz would handle this pandemic in his comic strips. I'm pretty sure that Lucy would be wearing some type of a scrub, and she'd be wearing a mask, and she'd say, I'm doing this for all of mankind. And I can almost hear Linus in the background pull his thumb out of his mouth while he's holding a security blanket and say, you know that has absolutely no effect whatsoever, right? And just puts it back in his mouth and continues to go about his way. And throwing her crabby world into upheaval. But I know I'm not giving a whole lot of Peanuts references in this show. But guys, Kendall's post on his Instagram just had me to where I had to stop everything. It seems like once again in 2022, we are hearing this battle cry from our high-up officials to stay at home. Look, can we revise that for a second? And this is coming from somebody who did lose someone who absolutely mattered in my life. I lost my father to COVID. And I'm not saying this for sympathy. I'm personalizing it for you. And I am telling you, let's revise that and say stay at home if you've been instructed by a doctor to stay at home. If you have COVID, then I understand your quarantine time. I understand you staying at home if you don't feel well. But we've got to stop staying at home and not facing this pandemic. How are you going to build up an immunity when you stay at home all the time? Everyone I've talked to in the medical field and in the field of science have said it doesn't work that way. Take precautions, but stop living under a rock. Stop living under your covers at home. Stop being fearful. And the whole state of Hawaii needs to stand up and say, these kids have a right to be out in the playground playing. And apparently they have to be outside with a mask on. But today, on the open for Hawaii, they're told to stay indoors, probably told to keep on testing, because that allows for more funding for the schools. I want to go ahead and say it. But we're allowing for these parking of these spectators, these participants in the open, to park in these kids' playground. The school has said, come on, you guys bring in a lot of revenue to the state, so you can come park here, but these kids can't go outside and participate in PE or their recess? And Hawaii is sitting back and letting this happen and going, well, at least they get to play a little bit. That's not enough. Are we going to stop living in fear? The Bible will tell you to be strong and courageous. I'm sorry if I'm raising my voice on the front of this podcast. If you're a new listener, I'm sorry that you're coming in on this rant, but I'm not sorry for what I'm sharing. Kendall Grove, a MMA fighter and an owner of a gym of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling out in Hawaii, has to say what you need to hear. He's the one that's having to bring it forward and saying, well, we're not going to bat for our kids. Our kids are being shown to their face that they're not important, but these people at the Sony Open in Hawaii are important because they have a place to park outside of our school. which is supposed to be school property, but you allow them to have a space to park and they can't go outside and participate in. I'm getting fired up thinking about this. Stay at home if you are sick. No time in the history of America has a quarantine been done like this, where everybody stays home. It's always been for the sake of the community, for the sake of society. If you had something like the measles or smallpox, a dysentery, or whatever it might be, then we keep you away from society for the sake of everybody else until you either get well or, unfortunately, we know the ultimate result. So those of you that have lost someone to COVID, my prayer is that they knew Jesus and you'll get to see them again one day when you go home to meet Jesus. I feel the same way about my father, but he would tell you, stop being so fearful. Stop letting this age of corruption instead of an age of a virus dictate your very life. Because it's happening already in Hawaii, and that tells me what's next. Are you going to take a stand, or are you just going to stay home and suck your thumb? I feel like I've said enough I need to on my rant. I've done my call to action, and if I turn away some people, then so be it. If you continue to want to know what I have to say, stick around because we're going to talk some martial arts on the other side. I'll see you, as they would say on cassette too, I will see you on the other side. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog, the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture of the day comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. David Guzik, in his commentary, once talked about this whole section of Romans chapter 12. Usually he said that in rejoicing in hope, the call to hope usually has in mind our ultimate reward with Jesus. The Apostle Paul even said this, that we serve God rejoicing in hope, not rejoicing in results. I pray that that is uplifting to you as we continue with our scripture of the day. But as it comes down to, a lot of y'all have made it to the second part. That must mean you're an MMA fan. And what have I got to say about what's going on? Well, I'll tell you, start off with, just to give this an overview, tonight's main event, Cater versus Chigadze. This is just a great way to start off the new year. It really is. But we seem to have another conundrum that's going on, and it's happening between the owner of the UFC, Dana White, and the current day heavyweight champion of the world. Now, I'm going to try to do some type of a comparison here. It seems like we are inching our way further. The way I understand it is Francis Ngannou is not happy with his pay. He's wanting to go into the world of boxing. So we've got to understand something here. Francis Ngannou beats Stipe Miocic, becomes heavyweight champion of the world. Now you have your contractual agreement to however how many fights you've got, whether you are holding the title or not, to fulfill in the UFC. But it looks like, according to all the resources I've seen on social media, on his Twitter, through all the other resources I follow, that Francis Ngannou is trying to battle it out with Dana White over fighter pay. It looks like to me Sugar Sean O'Malley is doing the same thing. This has happened before. A lot of people brought forward something called the Ali Act, which is more for boxers. But does MMA fall under that umbrella? And is simple capitalism not enough for these guys, you know, when it comes to presenting a bill to Congress? So it's been interesting to watch how fighter pay and revenue has been debated. Because really, you have to understand, in this sport, just like two other ones, when it comes to boxing, professional wrestling, and mixed martial arts, they very much depend on pay-per-view buys. And when it comes to the names that bring most people into watching the UFC, it falls between three guys. This is simply going by the numbers. Statistically, it's Conor McGregor, then you have Nate Diaz, and Jorge Masvidal. These three superstars are the ones who are bringing in, typically, the most revenue, the most pay-per-view buys for the UFC. Now, Francis Ngannou is a special condition when it comes to a guy from Nigeria who has become the very best in the heavyweight division. I love the story of Francis Ngannou, but I am confused up until this point, and I am very concerned. It doesn't mean that he needs my approval, but if you look at it, now he's wanting to look into the boxing realm. We're seeing a movement of MMA fighters go to boxing most of the time. You know what I'm talking about. If you follow Ben Askren or Tyron Woodley, that it doesn't end up a good result, but probably a nice fat paycheck for these guys who go in. But there's two things I have to discuss here. It seems like we're getting into a new Montreal. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you must not be a pro wrestling fan from the 90s, because there's something that happened in 1997 in Montreal, Canada, and it's something that's referred to often as the Montreal Screwjob. We have Bret Hart, who is leaving the organization and going to the opposing organization. You have him leaving the World Wrestling Federation and going to WCW. Well, that means now he's holding the strap, and he's supposed to give it back and do the honors of giving it to somebody else. Namely, his biggest nemesis, known as Shawn Michaels. Well, he doesn't like this plan. Vince McMahon, the owner of the World Wrestling Federation, is always on the phone between these two, between Shawn and Bret, trying to look for the best possible scenario to where the belt will be relinquished to the WWF before he goes to WCW. And starts over and gets a good payday for Bret Hart. But somehow, they can't come to an agreement, and it comes to on pay-per-view, on national television, Bret Hart is literally has the belt taken from him, from the clutches of Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels, working this amazing concoction. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you must not know the story. Some of y'all could break it down much more than I can. Either way, Shawn Michaels leaves that night with the belt. And Bret Hart is disgraced, you know, he's not disgraced, but he is embarrassed in his hometown of Montreal. The fans are livid. Bret Hart spits in Vince McMahon's face. This is an interesting story, apparently, you know, and punches him out backstage. Very interesting story. You can go look it up. It's easy to Google the Montreal Screwjob. But it seems like if we're looking at Dana White, the owner of the UFC, versus the current day heavyweight champion of the world, Francis Ngannou, who is not happy with his pay and is wanting to go to greener pastures in the boxing realm. My simple question to Francis Ngannou is, regardless if you like the pay of $500,000 a year or $500,000 per fight to whatever that range is, $600,000, depending on how much you make on merchandise, on pay-per-view buys, whatever doesn't go out to your team, to your coaches, whatever your leftover pay is, you're not happy with the payout, even though you happen to be the very best in the sport. And how many fights do you have left on your contract? Because I do believe there's something called contract law. Nobody has an argument with me when they talk about, I don't want to pay back my student loans. It's contract law. You signed the contract. If you didn't read the fine print, then I can't help you. Okay, but when it comes to this with Francis Ngannou, is he going to fulfill his obligations to the UFC and then go to boxing, or is he going to abruptly leave and go have a fight at Triller, whether it's with one of the Paul brothers or somebody else that he wants to fight? It's just a very confusing situation, but it looks like we are building up to a new Montreal. We are building up to something that almost replicates what happened. At the end of the day, it looks like the business owner is going to get his way. So many people have tried to go to bat with Dana White. Tito Ortiz didn't pull it off. Other fighters have tried this, even though they have spoken up. I think Randy Couture was on the board for the Ali Act, and look who's still standing supreme. Does that mean that I am a supporter or a corporate shill, I guess the word is, for Dana White? I'm just simply asking, if you go to boxing for a better payday, I don't really have a problem with that, Ngannou, but the answer is, who are you going to face next? Are we going to see Stipe come back for a rematch with you? Because it is 1-for-1, if I'm not mistaken. Now, we could easily do the rubber match there. Are we going to have Ngannou facing Cyril Gane if he ends up defeating Well, he's going to be facing him anyway, but we're going to have another matchup. Are we expecting Ciryl Gane to keep his distance as the better? That's the thing about it. If you look at the heavyweights in the UFC, the story is, regardless if you are the better all-around athlete, you get one touch on the chin and it's lights out. That's the story of the heavyweights. Okay, even with Francis Ngannou, that's how scary this guy is with the power that's in his hands. And that's how he ended up getting the belt. But I'm just asking, and what my biggest concern is, apparently, according to Twitter, that Francis Ngannou is willing to take a pay for his bout in boxing with cryptocurrency. Oh, God! Oh, it makes me cringe so much. Even Crypto.com being a sponsor of the UFC, it really scares me for these guys. If you are investing in cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, you may not like what I'm about to say and you might shut me off. But why worry about Francis Ngannou, a guy like you who has a story of becoming the very best and to represent Nigeria in an amazing way, you could lose it all from one hacker that knows blockchain better than you do, and everything that you have worked for is wiped out in the blink of an eye. Some of you that are wanting to be involved in cryptocurrency, I understand the concept. Conceptually, I'm with it. But you're going to put all of this, you're going to take your actual tangible assets and put it into crypto when you go into boxing? Africa apparently has really supported the movement of cryptocurrency. Well, we've never had a type of currency that could really build our nation up. But you're going to place it on this digital gold dust, as Charlie Munger has called this rat poison? Ngannou, I say this because I am concerned. I am terrified for the idea of you losing everything to one person that's out there fishing around in this terrible, dangerous moat that is the world of cryptocurrency, and you lose everything. At least under Dana White, you're guaranteed $500,000 per fight. You're guaranteed your merchandise and your payday. It scares me enough. Crypto.com being on the UFC fighters' clothing is scary enough as it is. I truly am I'm confused about this Ngannou versus Dana White, because I know the ultimate result most of the time that Dana White is still standing supreme as the owner of the UFC. It looks like we have a new Montreal that's working itself out. But Ngannou, I beg you to rethink what you're talking about. I think, in all seriousness, consider finishing out your contract, whether you're holding the belt or not. If you want to go to boxing, by all means, make sure you're not getting paid in cryptocurrency. Please do not get paid in Dogecoin or Bitcoin or something else. Please make sure it's actually got something that has intrinsic value, like a cash payout. I'm begging you. You've worked too hard to lose it on a gamble that is cryptocurrency. I've spoken my mind about it. And now we have another story in the world of the heavyweights, which is Derek Lewis versus Tao Tuivasa, and we got two of the shoey. Okay, it's hard enough to make the heavyweights interesting. Why? Because of what you just said. One tap on the chin, and it's lights out. You got Ciryl Gane, who's going up against Ngannou and knows that, is going to have to keep his distance, circle hard, let Ngannou come to him, set up his traps, know how to play takedown defense, know how to probably wrestle himself, but also be able to work his ground game. You're going to have something that is going to put most MMA fans to sleep, which is the heavyweights. It's very hard to make that realm entertaining, but apparently Derek Lewis and Tui the Shoei have found a way. You got one guy who will straddle the cage, stick his tongue out, and wipe his bodily fluids all over the canvas, and then he'll talk about where is Ronda Rousey's fine rear end at, or her backside. I mean, you've got a guy who is literally taking a shoe and filling it with an alcoholic beverage. Who knows if somebody's already been drinking it? Apparently, there's supposed to be saliva where somebody spits into the shoe. It's not even your own shoe, and you're supposed to drink this down. Can we simply admit that this is disgusting? Maybe I'm one of the only ones. Some of y'all are like, well, that's entertaining for me. I think Grande had a song that said, I want to be the minority. I'll go ahead and share the lyrics right now. I want to be the minority. I don't need your authority. Down with the moral majority, because I want to be the minority. And I'm in the minority that says the heavyweight division doesn't need Lewis versus Tuivasa. but we're going to get it anyway. You can make your decisions. I will not be watching the fight because I'm not watching these two disgusting Neanderthals go at it in the cage. I would rather be watching Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar again. What happened to the excitingness, whatever happened to the intrigue of Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler going tit for tat? What happened to the flyweight division with Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueroa having it for a third time? You've got my attention. You don't have my attention with Lewis and Tui Tashui. But if you want to watch it, that's what democracy is all about. That's what capitalism is all about. You have your decision, but that doesn't have me pulled in. One touch on the shin, it's lights out. That's the story of the heavyweights. I'm sure I'll get some backlash on it. I'll gladly talk to you about it. But none of those happen to be the contenders for the fight of the year. Max Holloway sure did with Yair Rodriguez. Volkanovski versus Ortega was certainly in the discussion. So was Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje. I didn't see anything about the heavyweights that made its way into fight of the year. That's because I don't believe it's going to be. But we have to have these shenanigans, these disgusting shenanigans inside and outside of the cage. Eye roll. I'll leave it all there. Tell us how you really feel, Blockhead. I think I just did. I'm glad you still have an opinion. I'm glad you still have some comedic relief. I'm glad that you have a sense of humor. You may not have one after the fight's over. Either way, continue to support this show. Thank you so much for being with me on this journey. Thank you for supporting the guys in the YFB Network. If you like this, all I ask is share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, do some type of a subscription, click it and like, subscribe. Go to your favorite blockhead.com/blog and click the links for today's show. We will see you next Saturday, same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.